Good morning, everybody. I'm really taken by that last song because I never confer with the worship leaders. Never prescriptive about what songs they should or shouldn't play in a particular service. I leave that up to them and the Holy Spirit. Every now and again, we might have a request. Jeremy and I may have a request, or whoever's preaching may have a request for a particular song, and we will do that. That last song that you chose was about being blessed, in fact, blessing God, about God, us blessing Him. Well, this morning I want to talk about Him blessing us. I want to talk about us being blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And I know for some people that because of their experience, perhaps where perhaps around the prosperity gospel, which I don't agree with for one second, that when you start talking about that God actually wants to bless you or me or us, that they get a little bit nervous about that because of perhaps some bad theology. The prosperity gospel is nonsense, church. I want to be really upfront about that. Don't believe in it. In fact, I think it's evil. If it's not, it borders on evil. Because it usually means people have been ripped off. That's what it usually means. So I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, but I do believe this emphatically, that it is God's desire, Mason, to bless your life and mine and you and the person next to you. I absolutely believe that. I'm going to prove that from Scripture this morning, that it is His absolute heart's desire that God desires to be a blessing to you, to us. That's the way that God sees you. So we're going to look at three passages this morning, but very quickly I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12 and then put your finger there. If you've got an electronic Bible, you might just have to put it on pause, I'm not sure. Then Psalm 65 and then Philippians 4:7. And at some point, I will come to you with those scriptures and we will start to talk into them. How many of you enjoyed the lead up to Christmas just gone? Enjoyed the lead up to it? How many of you enjoyed the stress and the pressure of the lead up to Christmas just gone? In fact, how many of you experienced in this lead up just gone less stress in your life apart from me? Yeah, a few of you, less stress. Well, you can actually thank your church for that, you two at the back. Because for weeks leading up through November, December in particular, we were saying from the front, get your Christmas shopping over and done with before Christmas Eve. And what was the reason for that? Was because we were having a Christmas Eve service, and we did. We had it, honestly, if you were here, you would know what I'm talking about, but it was such a fabulous evening. And I just want to give a big shout out to all the team that did so much work around that. There's a whole bunch of you, including in the kitchen with Mandy and the team there. Everybody put on an incredible event. You know that we had a packed house that was standing room only in this auditorium, 200 plus apparently, so they told me, something like that. And so for those of you that were able to be here, you'd done all your Christmas shopping, got it all out of the way, took all the stress out of it, and you were freed up on Christmas Eve to come and enjoy. And boy, did we have a great time, did we not? It was a great night. It really was. And it seems to me that every year that we do that, I think that's the third year. It just seems to grow. It just grows, and we had a lot of people also that were just probably we'd never seen before. It was a really, really good night. So well done to everybody. But here we are today, the start of another year. Where did the last year go? Gone. Just like that. I want to ask you a question. And without speaking out loud, when I ask the question, unless of course you really want to tell us, without speaking it out loud, and I want you to be honest with yourself. Here's the question. On New Year's Eve, did you make a New Year's Eve resolution or resolutions plural? I did a Google search during the week to find out What are the top 10 list of New Year's resolutions that people make? Before I read them out to you, guess what's at the top? Pardon? Correct. Actually, that's second, because the first one is exercise more and they're kind of connected with each other. So here they are. This is according to Mr. Google. Exercise more, lose weight, get organized. That's interesting. Learn a new skill or hobby. Live life to the fullest. That's a good one, John 10:10. Save more money, spend less money. Here's one, quit smoking. Spend more time with family and friends. Travel more, which is really not going to happen, at least internationally at the moment. And the last one, according to Google, is read more. Can you relate to any of those that I've just read out to you? Yeah, probably several of them, I would imagine. Which ones? Tell us. No, it's okay. It's okay. Which one? What was that? Was that Google speaking? Was that... Okay, let's move on. Well, here's the thing. For all of you that made New Year's resolutions, it's not wrong to want this year to be better than the one that's just gone. Indeed, if you have a desire and a hope that the year ahead will be better than last year, you've actually tapped into the heart and the desire of God for your life. You've actually tapped into it. It's a biblical principle. God wants to bless his people. And not just for our benefit, but he wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing as well. We receive to then give out. Blessed to be a blessing. So with all that in mind, turn to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read the first verses 1 through to 3. So I want to take you through a few scriptures to build a framework, and then we'll talk into the issue. So this is Genesis 12. The call of Abraham, or Abram as he was called back then. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. Listen, and all peoples on earth, that's us, will be blessed through you, Abraham. How many of you know what the name Abraham actually means in the Hebrew language? Some of you do, I'm sure. Father of a multitude, or father of many nations. That's what it means in the original Hebrew. And God chose this guy to establish the nation of Israel and essentially the Christian faith. He chose this man and his plan and his purpose, whatever time that was back then. And because of this man's obedience to leave his homeland and to follow God's leading, and by the way, to go to a place that God hadn't even identified for him. All his life, he'd been growing up in this area, got married and had his family and his servants. He was a very wealthy man. And God said to him, Abram, I want you to pack everything up, everything that you own, get on your donkey and bring everyone with you and go to this place that I will show you where it is at some point. Leave everything. Hello? Leave it all behind. And he did. And I believe theologically and biblically that obedience, because of that one act of his obedience, because of that, God bestowed upon him, Abraham, a cast iron guarantee that he would be blessed and that through him, Abraham, the concluding promise God made in verse 3 was, and all peoples on the earth, that means us, will be blessed through him. Hold that thought. Excuse me. You might be sitting here thinking this morning about, well, how on earth does that apply to me? You know, 4,000 odd earth years perhaps later. How does that apply to me? Actually, no. Almost 6,000. Yeah, almost 6,000. That's right. And I'm glad you asked the question, because Galatians 3, here's the second passage, 7 through to 9 answers that question. Galatians 3 says this: understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. If you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, that would be probably most of you, you are a son or a daughter of Abraham. You are part of his seed, spiritually speaking, if you're a follower of Christ. Those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations would be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The principle of blessing that he was talking about there in Galatians, Paul who wrote Galatians. Jesus restated that in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, in John 10:10. One of my most favorite scriptures: the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life, listen, and have it abundantly, or have it to the full, to the fullest extent. Now, some people, when you read that in a casual way, you're just kind of reading through John 10, and you read that verse, the immediate thought, or it can be for many people, is he's only talking about eternity. But that's not true. He's not talking about eternity. It includes eternity, life to the full, but it also includes life here on earth. In its context, it's talking about this life as well as eternal life. Say hallelujah. It's what God promises. So with all that in mind, as the reference and the framework, I want you to turn to Psalms 65. Psalm 65, and we're going to read it. Verses 9 through to 13. Psalm 65, this is David. And this psalm was when they're on the border of, after the leaving Egypt, on the border of Canaan, the promised land, they're on the border, and they hadn't entered in. Verse 9, you care for the land and water it, you enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and they sing. In Psalm 65, David declares that God's atonement for sin, when we come, and he's talking to the nation here, when they came before God and they atoned for their sin, and in their particular case, they had to sacrifice a lamb or a goat or a pigeon or whatever it happened to be. God's atonement for sin results in God's bounty. In other words, God's blessing. Under the old covenant, that was possible through the shedding of blood. As I just said, the sacrifice of a sheep or a goat. Under the new covenant, Jesus Christ became our atonement for sin. When he hung on the cross, when he shed his blood once for all, not repeatedly, he did it once for all, he became the atonement for our sin, a once for all sacrifice. And today, this is the good news. We only need come to him, confess our sin, and know that we have been forgiven and set free from the penalty of sin. Say amen. We've been set free. Psalm 65, 9 to 13 speaks specifically of God pouring out his abundant blessing on the land. It says here, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. In other words, even when they're going through a difficult time, God's blessing will still be there. God's favor will still be there for them to tap into. In the New American Standard Bible, that same verse says, you have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. Why is that funny? Oh, okay, righto. New Year's resolutions. In the Bible, the word, this is important, the word fatness is used as a metaphor to describe material increase. That's what it's used for, material success. And we see this when Moses sent the 12 spies to scout out the promised land. And he said, report back, and he said to them, go and check it out to see whether it is fat or lean. And they brought back a report saying it flowed with milk and honey. The land was so fruitful that it took two men to bring back one bunch of grapes. Thank you. One, I was going to say crop of grapes. One bunch of grapes. Could you imagine that? Wow. Note the words in Psalm 65, the words crowned and the words bounty. In the same way a crown encircles your head, it is the heart of God towards you that you be surrounded by God's bountiful goodness. That's you. That's me. To be surrounded by God's bountiful goodness can be summed up in one simple word: blessing. It is the heart of God to bless his people, to bless you. Some of you this morning look like you don't want to receive it. Or maybe you're just surprised that God would want to bless you, but he does. He absolutely does. It is in the heart of God. It is his desire to bless his people, to bless you. Let's flip it around. How many of you know that without even trying, we all experience challenging, difficult times and difficult seasons? Yep, without even trying. That just kind of happens in life. Well, Jesus didn't sugarcoat the reality of that either when he said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You absolutely will. The reality is, while we wait for Christ's return, we are both in Christ here on earth and we're in this world. When we wait for his return, it's like this kind of dual existence is going on. We are both in Christ, yes, spiritually speaking, but we are physically in this world. But in Christ you find peace. But in this world you will experience trouble. That's what he's saying. So Jesus didn't sugarcoat this thing. He was really, really honest about it. But don't stop there in that verse. Read the rest of the verse, because he then goes on to say, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. But take heart. Jesus overcame the world. I want you to hear this again. It is in the heart of God to bless his children, no matter what your circumstances are. No matter what's around the corner waiting for you, it is in the heart of God to bless his children. You know, even in the midst of trials, testings, challenges, and disappointment, it is in the heart of God to bless his people. Hold that thought then as we read Philippians 4:7, last scripture. Philippians 4:7. Hold that thought. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In John 16, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. Not in the world, but in him you will have peace. And Philippians 4:7 is reinforcing that truth, that biblical reality. And the peace of God, the peace that Jesus talked about in John 16, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. To help us navigate our way through this world, God has promised to bless us. That's believers. The blessing is for his people, for his children. He has promised to bless us with his peace, listen, despite the circumstances. In spite of the circumstances. this peace that Christ promised, it's not an external, it's not a worldly understanding of peace. It's an internal condition. It's a confidence that grows in you that Philippians 4:7 says goes way beyond external circumstances. Church, Christian or not, we all experience hostility of the world. Would that be true? We all experience it. You may be experiencing that just from a neighbor. You may be experiencing that in your work situation, at school. Who knows? Jesus said, in this world, you will, underline it. Everyone smile. You will have trouble. You will have challenges. They will come like a freight train. But there is a peace that goes deeper than we are able to fathom. And Philippians says it transcends understanding. Paul's point was simply this. This peace is not something the world can conjure up. You can't conjure it up. This peace, because it goes beyond your understanding, cannot even be rationalized. It's a peace that's promised from God to every believer, listen, in every situation. It is available there to us, for us. Let me try to explain it this way. Have you ever experienced some sudden bad news, really, really bad news? Weren't expecting it and it just came left field. We're in that kind of situation at the moment, and particularly my wife is. And you can ask her afterwards what that is if you wish to. But you weren't expecting this thing to happen. And boom, there it was. It's right there in front of you. And there's no ducking and diving from it. There it is. Have you ever experienced that situation? And so at some point, you've come to your senses after you've got over the shock of it, and you realize, perhaps I should take this to God. Perhaps I should go there and ask him about it. So you stop and you pray and you hand it over to him, and then all of a sudden, this flooding in your spirit, in your heart, just comes from him. And you feel complete and absolute peace, like being in the eye of the storm. Has anyone ever experienced that? Yep, many of you have. I have. And I'll probably experience it again. This peace that Philippians 4:7 says, and I want to read it again. And the peace of God, which transcends our understanding. God's peace is not given to you so you can figure it out. It's given to you simply to receive. You don't have to rationalize it. In fact, he doesn't ask you to, because it goes beyond your understanding. Do you realize if you're a person that's always left brain thinking, and that's one of my problems, always left brain and not the non-creative side of things, always trying to nut it all out, you know, why did it happen this way, God? Try to put all the pieces and all the ducks and line them up in a row. Sometimes people like that, we just have to simply give up the right to understand and just receive it. Because it transcends understanding. You cannot explain it. Yet, God says it is available to every believer in every set of circumstances. Isn't that great news? Instead of trying to understand it, church, simply just receive it. Just receive it. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Two quick points before we share the communion. We just want to qualify. When you're talking about God's blessing, this is an important point to understand. God's blessing is more than material increase. It certainly can include that and does, but it's much bigger than that. It's much broader than that. It's much deeper than that. God's blessing goes way beyond material things, but it does include that. You know, I was just thinking the other day about this when I was preparing this message. You can have all the money in the world, But if the doctor diagnoses you with a terminal illness, would you give up your wealth for your health? Would you? I would. Every jolly penny of it. Of course you would. Don't be like the person that someone said, your money or your life? He said, take my life, I'm trying to save my money. Don't be like that person. Of course you would. Or whether God chose to heal you through the expertise of the doctors, gifts that he's given, the skill of the doctors, or whether it's a divine miracle, you would see that as a blessing, would you not? Of course you would. I would and I have. The word blessing in the Bible relates to his provision for every area, for every need, for every deficit, every situation his children will ever face in their life on earth. It covers everything. It's not prescriptive, it is descriptive of the heart of God who desires to bless his kids. Just like the time we just had 5 days with Harvey. And well, it was great when he went because the house was nice and quiet and all the stuff came down from the high tide mark and all the ornaments are still in their right place now, you know. But the time we had with him, it was just a joy to get up there in the morning with him and just to bless this little kid who did all the taking and you did all the giving. That's how God feels about you. He got in bed with granddad and he's up on my knees and you know, you do the thing where you go, one, two, three, and he falls down into the, anyone ever done this? Am I the only one that's done this? Am I the only, help me out here, somebody. You know, you want to run around after them, took them to Staglands, did we, darling? We took them to Staglands, he's running after the animals and oh, we're running around after them. No wonder we were worn out when we got home. Mum and dad were fine because they did nothing, they just watched us. But that's okay. But this is how God sees his children. You know, I really want you to capture this in your spirit. Yes, our walk with God, there are challenges. Of course there are. In fact, when I became a Christian, I think life got more tough in some areas than not. But that doesn't change the fact that your Heavenly Father, that my Heavenly Father wants to bless his kids, just like earthly parents want to bless their children and their grandchildren. So God's blessing, excuse me, is more than material increase. You really need to understand that. It is provision for every area, every need, every deficit, every situation that his children will ever face in this life. Second point before we go to the communion table. This walk that we have of faith is not a one-off event. It's not a pick and choose thing. It's actually a lifestyle. The reference to Psalm 65:11, the promised land, this is God's promised blessing to the nation. He was offering Israel this promise. It wasn't all dependent just upon God. It wasn't just a one-way street. It wasn't all him alone, because they too had a part to play. They just didn't go along for the ride. They had a part to play as well. And to live in his bounty, which is a metaphor for God's blessing, was going to require that they also walk in his paths. It says, you have crowned the year with your bounty and your paths drip with fatness. I love that illustration. Can you picture it? God's paths that he has laid out before us, should we choose to walk in them, drip with his goodness, with his fatness, with his blessing. It's not that he's saying life is going to be all roses. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that there is, when we go through difficult times also, God is still God. God is still a God of provision. God is still a God that wants to bless his children, even in the difficult times. And it may well be that when you're going through a difficult time, as we do, that the goodness and the favor of God and the blessing of God is simply that in your heart, you feel completely at peace in the midst of the storm. It may be that's the blessing for that season, for that time. Or it may be that your particular circumstances, God opens up a door with a, if it's a health situation, and God opens up a door with a specialist that before, the, excuse me, the nurse told you, or your doctor told you, you'll never be able to see him or her because they're booked up till the middle of this year. But all of a sudden, there's an opening right there because you took it before the Lord. You said, God, I need something now, not in 6 months' time. And the door opens, and boom, there you are. Maybe that's the blessing that God brings. Or maybe it's you've lost your job and you don't know what to do. So you take it before God because you've done all that you can. And then all of a sudden, you get a phone call, boom. And there's a job offer. Often we have to walk in his paths. In fact, we have to walk in his paths to experience that. If you keep God at arm's length, if you hold him there, and or he's the last on your to-do list, your go-to list, I'm suggesting this morning, make him first. Put him first on your go-to list. You have crowned the year with your bounty. That's the whole year ahead. And your paths drip with fatness. You know, after the journey, the journey from Egypt, when they left Egypt to go to the promised land, first time around the mountain, by the way, because remember they didn't enter in the first time. And that was costly. Anyway, the journey from Egypt to the border on Canaan was 8,400 kilometers. And the context of Psalm 65 is they're now camped for the last time before entering into the promised land. Can you picture it? Their last camp. How many times do you think they made camp during that trip from Egypt, walking all the way to Canaan? Anyone want to guess? How many times would they stop to make camp? Every night for about 9 months. This is not the 40-year thing that came afterwards. About 9 months, they reckon. What's that, nine threes? 270 or 280 camps. This is the last one, and they're right on the border. And God said to Israel, if you are willing to trust me, to walk in close fellowship with me every day, there is blessing in abundance across there in that border. If you cross that border, go from here to there, there is blessing in abundance. The land drips with fatness. The blessing was guaranteed and the blessing was certain, but it also required something on their part. First, trust him. If you are willing to trust me, Psalm 65 says. If you are willing to trust me, free will choice, by the way. If you are willing, free will choice. And secondly, if you then continue to walk in close fellowship with me, that means, church, inviting him into every area of your life. That means thanking him for the good things that have happened and will happen. Inviting him in to every challenge, every situation, every deficit that you will face. Go to God first. Get God involved. Don't wait till you're at your wit's end and everything's, you feel like it's all over. Go to him first. Include him right at the very beginning. Continue to walk in close fellowship with him every day. Translation this morning. What that means, our walk of faith must become a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, folks. It's not something that I pick and choose. Today I feel like walking close to you, God. That's nice. Tomorrow, no, not today. It's a lifestyle. You know, for Israel, Egypt was the place of stress, the place of sorrow, the place of struggle, but Canaan was the place that of God-given promise and blessing. You know, this year, church, doesn't have to be like last year for you or for our church, for that matter. It doesn't have to be that way. Because it's in the heart of God to bless his children. The prophet Jeremiah understood this better than most. He said, "The faithful love of the Lord never ceases, never ends. His mercies never cease. They begin afresh every morning." David said in Psalms 30 verse 5, "His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." Some of you here this morning, I want you to hear what I believe is the word of the Lord for you this morning. You don't have to live in the dread of the days, the weeks, and the months that are ahead, because it is in the heart of God to bless your life.